Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Sussex Cricket Museum podcasting experience. This is the first one that we have done away from the museum. And today we're sitting in Eastbourne in the flat belonging to a famous cricketer from the past in Sussex history. So the sun's shining outside. I've got with me John Philby, who's the chairman of the club and the chairman of the museum. Our special guest today is Les Lenham, who started his career for Sussex back in 1956. His final game was in 1970. In that period, he played 300 matches, scoring 12,796 runs with a highest score of 191 not out, an average of 26.16 and 700s. So just want to welcome Les to the pod. Les, it's nice to have you with us.
Well, I'm delighted to see you both. We've got a lovely sunny cricketing day almost with the weather outside. And I felt it would be interesting to start by just mentioning how it began for me.
Definitely.
I use the word luck. You've got to be lucky, right, in a way. And I know in the conversation we had just now, I was lucky that when I played in a little junior game and there was one man watching the match, and I did well in the game, got 30-odd not out and four wickets. And about a week later, I got a letter from the county club saying we'd had a letter from the gentleman who was watching you, saying he was impressed with where you play and we'd like to have a look at you. And,
right.
I finished up going over to the ground for a trial in front of Patsy Hendren, who was then county coach. But how lucky was I to have that one man watching and him being kind enough to let Sussex know. Because around me, there were lots of other boys, very talented, the same as I was reasonably talented, but there was lots around, just as talented as me. But it was that one man reporting, right, on my performance in that one game that gave me that pretty lucky break, because the follow-up was that I had a letter from the club to say Patsy was pleased with me and they invited me to Easter coaching the following summer, and that's how it started.
And what year was that in, Les?
I would have been at the age of about 12, so that would have been about 1950, something about,
right,
that.
Right. Before you and I were born then, John.
It was before
yes,
we were born.
Yes.
And where was that game, Les?
Yeah, it was played at a prep school in Worthing, Broughton Manor Prep School. And amazing thing is that many, many, many years later, when I was doing, when I was a national coach running courses to show people how to teach young players, I did a course in Worthing. And at the course were lots and lots of teachers, including the headmaster of Broughton Manor School. And I'd taken my little son, Neil, to do all the demonstration for me. He was about 7 years of age. And John Sams, the headmaster, came up to me after and said, "Very impressed with my young son, because I taught him quite well." And he did all the demonstration. He said, "I'd like to offer him a place at my school. I'm headmaster of Broughton Manor School," the ground where I'd made that useful score and got a few wickets many years later.
Yeah.
So Broughton Manor was important to me. Again, luck.
Right.
That I took Neil along. I could have gone did the demonstration myself. But it meant that Neil had a prep school start, right, to his schooling.
Yeah. And you think from that, Neil got into cricket and developed further?
Well, it obviously helped that they had nice fixtures against other prep schools, and he was very encouraged by the headmaster, John Sam, so he played in the first team quite early, and I did have a net in the back garden, so he was getting some quite useful coaching from me at the time. So yes, and then he went on to Brighton College.
Right, okay. Yeah. So your career with Sussex, can you just talk us through the early days
the
of that?
Early days. I've talked to you about how I had my trials, and I was couple of seasons I went always in April because I was still at school to the classes that were running those days during the April holidays for maybe mostly for members' sons. And in the year of 1952, I had a very nice letter from the County Cricket Club, Colonel George Grimston, Air Secretary, saying that they wanted me to join the county staff. That would have been in the April, but I had to reply to him while I rang him up and said, "Sir, I'm wanted to stay on to take O-levels. So I wouldn't be available until the after I finished my exams." So it was I think it was about the 1st of August. And he agreed that I should join the staff then. And it was in those days, we had a ground staff, the young pros, they also called us. And I joined, so I was sweeping stands, picking up bits of paper, putting up deck chairs until the winter started, and playing club and ground matches as well during that August period and early September. And then I went to the county club and I said, "Please, sir," I was talking to Colonel Grimston, I said, "I want to have a backup just in case I don't make the grade as a cricketer." And I said, I feel I would enjoy the art of groundsmanship. May I be allowed to join the staff during the winter months? And he agreed. He said he hadn't had an offer like that from a young man before. So I joined the county staff, learnt the art of groundsmanship over two winters. But at the beginning of that winter, the Welfare Association had some money spare. And they said, "We'd like to send that young man, Lennon, to Art College." And so they sent me down to Brighton Art College, and I wanted to study architecture, but they said that's a full-time course and I don't think the county club will allow you from your groundsman worker to continue a course like that. But we can offer you a two-day course, which I'm sure the county club will allow you to be released for, in the art of a City and Guilds sign writing course. And in two winters, working on the staff, I attended Brighton Art College and became, I was taught brilliantly by an expert. And I had an artistic way anyway. I was his little pet. He worked hard with me and I became a very good sign writer. In those days, everything was sign written. Now it's all plastic on the sign. Yeah. So pub signs, lorries, vans, all the grounds, signs around the ground, painted by LJL. And it gave me a little extra money in my back pocket.
So you were a groundsman and a sign writer.
Yes, that's right, I was.
See, you talked about the role of luck in cricket, but you're also now talking about the other attribute that I think's essential in cricketers, which is hard work. Mm-hmm. And I think I didn't know the story about the groundsmanship. I didn't know the story about going off to art college. But that just embodies my view of the people who make a success of professional cricket are the people who, they do have a bit of luck, of course. You need to be in the right place at the right time. But the main thing is you need to work hard. And it sounds to me like you really did that.
Yes, I was sensible enough to realise that there was a long way to go to try and make the grade as a cricketer. And it worked well for me. So I spent the winters at the county club and playing, obviously, club and ground, the second team cricket, prior to becoming an 18-year-old and having to do 2 years national service. And again, this was where I had a bit of luck. Colonel Grimston said, "Well, I'll get you into the Sussex, Royal Sussex Regiment at Chichester, keeping close to contact with you." I said, "Well, thank you very much." Anyway, my papers came through and it said, "Royal Artillery, Oswestry," and I had to look up where Oswestry was, nearly in North Wales. And I spent 2 years as a Royal Artillery gunner for 2 years at Oswestry. But I played a lot of cricket there. The camp we were very keen on their cricket. There was a garrison there with four regiments. I played Western Command, Midwest District, Army cricket for the Army. So my cricket was still developing because I was playing a lot during the period I was doing that. So luck again, a little bit of luck along the way. Yeah. I joined a regiment that was very keen.
And then you made your Sussex debut in 1956.
Yeah, I had a letter. The last match of the season, the the last match of the season, Sussex had just come back from Ireland, and I got a letter saying we'd like you to join the side to play against Glamorgan at Cardiff. So I take in, down I went, and I hadn't been playing because the season was over for me. But anyway, I joined I can remember the Angel Hotel in Cardiff, and there they all were, the Sussex side, flopped out in the lounge when I arrived. They'd just come back from Ireland, where the hospitality had been rather too much for them. And it rained the first day. The rain got under the covers, and we batted first. And we got bowled out, and I walked in at number 5. Hubert Doggett was captain, and I walked out. First ball, I nicked down to third man. I could have got a run, but I was so nervous, I didn't run. And the next ball exploded at me, pitched and turned. It hit the shoulder of my black, just touched my face, and was caught short leg. Caught Devereux, bowled Shepherd, naught. My first game. And that was the last game of the season. The following now, that was interesting. The following winter, I was back with Sussex again, doing the groundsmanship and during the winter months. And then, this is the most enormous stroke of luck. Alan Oakman and Don Smith have been opening the batting for Sussex very successfully. And Oakey had played in 2 test matches prior to the end of the 56 season. And he went off to South Africa with the MCC side. MCC in those days, not England. Mm. And he came back with a bad back. So they were looking for somebody to open the batting. And I got the chance to open against Hampshire and got a 80-odd in the friendly match, which got me a place in the first game of the season. Mm. And I was lucky enough to get 95 in my very first match of the season. And the season went quite well for me. And at Worthing, we played a 2-match, is at Worthing in those days. I got a 90 against, I think it was Northamptonshire, which helped to win the match. And Robin Marler presented me with my county captaincy. We walked off the field at tea time. When he presented me, he threw it at me and I dropped it. I had to pick it up off the surface of the ground, his old cap. He didn't, so it was, no, that's the presentation. He threw his cap at me. My proudest moment, I was picking up the cap off the floor. And at the end of that season, I got my first 100 against Derbyshire, against the might of Les Jackson, and I got 130. And then the foreign match was the last match of the season. And this is my proudest moment. I managed to bat through the innings against the might of Surrey. Now, dear old George Watterey, a scorer, had checked out, he was a statistician, that no opening bat had batted through the innings against the full Surrey attack. Alec Besler, Peter Loader, Jim Laker and Tony Locke. He found there was one, but they weren't playing all together in that game. So I batted against through the innings against the best attack in the country at Hove.
At Hove,
And Jim Laker had got 19 wickets the season before in that test match.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was a very proud moment. And what was also I was very proud of was I was sitting there taking my pads off, and my hero was Peter May, England captain.
Yeah.
And he'd skipped the side on that day. Yeah. And he came in the door, knocked on the door, came in, and he came across and said, "Well played, Les." And off he went. He didn't say any more. But and that moment I was meeting, I'd never spoken to Peter May, but I didn't speak to him there. I just said, "Thank you very much, Skipper." And that was my first moment of meeting Peter May personally, and him saying, "Well played, Les." And that was all he said to me. And I was able to say, "Thank you very much" to my hero.
Mm. So at that time, you became a regular in the team for the next 10 or so years.
The following year, I struggled a bit. I broke the fingers badly and it didn't heal. The next season, it took off really in 1959. Yes.
Yeah.
I started getting 1,000 runs every season.
Yeah.
And I did bat through the innings again against Glamorgan at the worst ground in the world, Margam, Port Talbot. God, 100 yards from the pavilion to the boundary, then you walked out, so it was a bad place to get naught. But luckily, I batted through the innings against Don Shepherd, so I got my own back, didn't I? How wonderful that was.